Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, back today with Makone Marja. And Makone, thank you very much for hosting the show yesterday. It is greatly appreciated. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is the ongoing discussions behind the scenes about the upcoming national budget. So, of course, a few days ago, the budget was cancelled after a significant opposition from the DA, from some of the other smaller opposition parties or former opposition parties in the GNU, and even from some ANC cabinet ministers who all opposed the increase of 2 percentage points to VAT. Well, there's now been a lot of discussion about where to make up the shortfall. And apparently in the last week, Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana has presented two budgets to cabinet for their approval, both of which appear to have been rejected. In the most recent meeting, which apparently dragged on for more than 6 hours, according to media reporting, that lots of things were on the chopping block because of the lack of increasing VAT, money for hiring unemployed doctors, recruitment of teachers, paying prison wardens. They may have to rethink of the wage increase of 5.5% for various public servants. Money for the defense force, which would have gone for salaries and recruiting of younger members, as well as 5 billion for the DRC deployment of South African forces. 19 billion rand meant for the Prasa Rail Agency for signaling equipment, which is currently holding up a bunch of trains because they have to do them manually. And Makone, the thing that struck me about this is, you know, all of these are sort of things that I think most South Africans would probably want the government to spend money on: hiring unemployed doctors, making sure teachers are paid. I'm not sure about government service, government employees' wage increases. That might be a different thing. But the sacred cows, like all the extra money spent on BEE premiums and many other policies, just seem to go untouched. I mean, the wage increase shouldn't even be on the table. What's your take on this?
Absolutely forgets about wage increases for a while, unfortunately. And this is where the ANC government has gotten itself into a corner. It's where they've continued to give public servants increases in some instances above the inflation rates to appease that wing of the tripartite alliance. And now those chickens have come home to roost because they can't even go a few years without making those increases possible just to stabilize the budget. And so what they have to do is squeeze out the rest of the taxpayers who are already at knife's edge under immense financial pressure to try and plug these holes that are missing from the budget. And we're not even talking about introducing the NHI yet, by the way. Because as Minister Godongwana said earlier this week, we covered on the show that Minister Motsoaledi still has to table a budget for how much the NHI is going to cost, which obviously also implies that money hasn't been planned for yet. But I would like to shine a spotlight to the commissioner at SARS, Mr. Keesvetter, Kasatu, and the DA. Their plan for how to fill that 60 billion rand shortfall for the next 3 years, which is something like 200 billion when you accumulate it, is the one that seems the most plausible to me, which is that strengthen SARS's ability to ensure tax compliance, increase tax compliance by 3 percentage points or 4 percentage points from either 63%, which is what it's currently at, to 67%, and you'll be able to raise billions in tax revenue. So I think that is a more sustainable way of increasing that. Obviously, it also strengthens our revenue services, which is always a good thing. Take SARS back to its pre-state capture heydays. That's always an excellent idea. And it ensures a sustainable flow of money into the government. And also it ensures compliance with the laws. But yeah, I think that's a far more... a better compromise. I think everyone will come on board with that idea. I mean, you're already seeing it with which people it's uniting, the DA and Kosatu. Keesvetter, I believe, at the present moment is nonpartisan, but it's already brought people of different political aisles on common ground basis.
I see in the DA statement on this, they also said that they think that they can make up the money by cutting government advertising budgets in half, massively reducing travel and catering expenditures, hiring freeze for non-essential employees, auditing to look for ghost employees. This is after I think it was last year sometime or the year before, that they found that something like 10% of Prasa's entire workforce didn't exist. This is the problem about South Africa is there are so many ways in which money is wasted. It's spent on corrupt, inflated contracts. It's spent on paying more so that you can ensure that you get a BEE compliant partner. It's on paying politically connected government employees far more than they should be at a sort of, you know, if they were on the market kind of rate. It's wasted on projects that never go anywhere or don't do anything, or on superfluous stuff like advertising. I mean, you know, one thinks about that NHI advert that we had relatively recently from the government. I don't really feel like that's my tax money being spent particularly well. You know, the problem isn't necessarily that there isn't enough money. The problem is that it's so badly spent. Yes, we do need a lot of money for a lot of the things that government wants to do. But if we just tightened up things, let me put it this way. There are a lot of countries in the world where they talk about reducing waste, fraud, and expenditure as the solution to all financial problems. You hear this often in the US, you hear this in Europe, that people say, oh, well, you know, we just need to reduce the fraud. In those countries, waste is actually a relatively small part of what costs money. In South Africa, it's a huge piece of what costs us money. And it's, I think, the first step towards fixing our budgetary problems without throwing the burden onto South Africans. And I think really the ANC here is facing the end of the road. There are no more options left to turn. They don't have the political strength to push up taxes anymore. They don't have money to borrow because we're already paying such a huge, you know, about 20% of our budget on debt servicing. They can't cut things like welfare and services too much because the public is already getting angry with them and their polls already dropping. They need to kill their sacred cows, things like public servant wage increases, things like BEE premiums. And if they don't, well, they're not going to be in power forever. Any final thoughts, McCullough?
Absolutely true. And I think what the DA's finance spokesperson, shadow minister, said was absolutely true, which is, how about we do a 3-month budget freeze where we all go and we audit these departments and try see where the holes, the black holes, where the leaks, where the wastage is, and then come back and try and revise and readdress on that basis. I think that's a far better way of spending money, which is why the IR was campaigning on tax cuts last year already. We were advocating that VAT be brought down to something like 11.5%, because if money is in the hands of the government, in governments like the one we have, so much of it goes to waste. Whereas if you did a VAT cut, you'd give more money in the hands of South Africans, which would be better for people with little disposable income, and they would use their money far wisely than government has already demonstrated is able to do. So I agree. And if the government does not proceed with it, I still think it's a worthwhile exercise for non-ANC or even ANC ministers who are opposing this increase, is to go back into their portfolios and order their DGs to go and find money in their departments. Do this for 3 months, come back to South Africans and say, we want to save you money in these areas and this is how you do it. And if it's not an overspend issue, one last thing, if it's not an overspend, it's an underspend issue, right? We always hear of municipalities returning money to the government, often in dirt poor provinces like my hometown of Limpopo, which is very infuriating because there's so much still to do there in terms of infrastructure development. But again, that just demonstrates that money is not being spent wisely, and that if you put money in the hands of South Africans, you'd at least be better off that way than giving money, more money, to the government.
Exactly right. Okay, let's move on to our next story, and this is about VBS, the infamous bank, which went belly up and took a whole bunch of often quite poor people's money with it, and it had its political it had its tendrils all over political figures in Limpopo in particular, it seems, various people who have been accused in the public space of being involved with misuse of the funds of VBS include, of course, some people in the EFF, but also ANC people. And interesting development in the case now, the chairperson of VBS Mutual Bank, Shafiwa Matodzi, is going to be is testifying in court in Polokwane against the former mayor of the Tulamela municipality. The former ANC mayor is accused of receiving a bribe to invest in the bank. The former chairperson of VBS gave evidence saying that what they did was they would basically offer politicians various things in return for the politicians then investing municipal money in the bank. He told the court that he lobbied mayors, politicians, and influential people. And when the court said, "What do you mean by lobbying?" He said, "We mean bribing and giving people things." He said that the mayor had apparently wanted a vehicle in return for investing municipal money in the bank. He bought a grand Jeep Cherokee for the mayor. And basically gave it to him for free without him paying back. And then immediately afterwards, the municipality invested a significant amount of money into VBS of around 600,000 rand. So this seems to be kind of generally how the scheme worked all over the place. Makone, what's your thoughts on the story?
This is a big milestone in the VBS case, which has been around for a long time. And it's almost seemed as though, you know, people who are implicated in this will never be brought to the book. But Madodzi had a very long affidavit that he had submitted to the police that was leaked. I would encourage people who are interested in the case to read that. I think gives you an overview into how intricate and sneaky corruption is committed in this country. It's not quite as straightforward as just getting a tender and then paying someone a kickback. It's more complicated than that. But I do think that it was worth covering the story because he's finally being deposed in a court of law. And the story of VBS has almost become just a political weapon to accuse various politicians of doing things that they should absolutely be confronted about. But it's equally as important that, like, justice is realized, justice materializes, and that it does not just become another event of state capture, right, where the government tries and then fumbles the case and then nobody ever accounts, but that we actually make significant strides in bringing people who are looting our communities, looting impoverished grandmothers, certainly in this case, to the book. And so a big milestone in the VBS case that the chairperson, who has been somewhat compliant, is finally being brought to the book. I'll say I'm not happy with this sort of negotiation where prosecutors will let someone like Madodzi, who seemingly the ringleader in this instance, let them off just because they are willing to give out a few names of politicians. I think I don't like that strategy by prosecuting officers. I think Madodzi should face some jail time, but it seems like he may get off because he's been an absolute darling, a prosecutor's wet dream, because he's been happy to submit every name, every transaction, and to fully cooperate with prosecutors, which should be rewarded, but not with him getting off scot-free, although that may not happen. It was just discussed in the article.
It's useful, though. I mean, I agree with you that when prosecutors flip people, it often feels a little bit weird if the person gets off too lightly, then even if they did something very bad. But I suppose, you know, all kind of organized crime cases usually do have to end up flipping a witness like this. And it is going to be very interesting to see the full extent of who exactly gets accused in all of this and who some of the evidence leads to. We've already had some strong evidence from reporting by investigative journalists about some of VBS's connections, but considering how this bank seemed to be bribing everyone in Limpopo left, right, and center, I wouldn't be surprised if we see more and more people implicated as time goes by. But yeah, I think it's something to be watched carefully by the public. All right, that is all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting. Thank you very much to everyone who watched the show, and we will see you tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.